I want to talk about emptiness. Hold on. It's sort of that easy, and it's sort of not that easy. It's hard to believe that you can actually let go of everything. All of this, all of your body, your mind, your relationships, your life, your whole experience is occurring within a totally empty space. It doesn't feel like that to most of you. It has so much solidity, so much content, so much narrative, so much drive, so much inhibition, so much exhibition, that it feels real and tangible and materialized and important and essential. And I get that, we all get that. But the journey of spiritual awakening is a gradual disintegration of, disentanglement with, disinterest in the form and the solidity and the density and the richness of this world. It's a practice of learning to separate oneself from one's endless identification with all of this and to allow oneself a journey into emptiness, which for most people, one, isn't even real. Doesn't exist. What are you talking about? Come on. To those of you who've had inklings of, tastes of, unbelievable immersions in the nothingness and the emptiness of being. Those of you who've had that are more attentive to what I'm saying than those of you who haven't experienced that. Sometimes it's the experience of that that brings you into the meditative fold, because mostly once you've experienced it, it goes away. And you somehow know that whatever it was is really important. It's important because even in the simplest of terms, nothing that is will continue to be, not in the materialized sense. So if you've had a glimpse of emptiness, if you've had a glimpse of totality as a complete void, you will have tasted it either as something terribly fearful or as something ultimately freeing and liberating. If it is fearful, it is because there's a you relating to it. If it is liberating, it's because you know that in that emptiness, none of your issues, none of your problems, none of your stories, none of your stuff continues to be there for you. You dissolve back into emptiness. One assumes that dying will be a journey back to that. However, people like the Tibetans talk about something called bardos, which is that as you start to let go of the body, you realize the mind hasn't gone anywhere, that there is still this something going on, which can be very vivid. States of being that you feel you're in that are no longer as narrative driven as your day-to-day life had been, but it's full of images, almost like dream space, that has a lot of content, and that it's part of a journey that you take into emptiness. In other words, giving up the body doesn't free you to emptiness. It just brings you into a state that's different, more like waking up in your own dreams. And in that state, you begin to try to unravel the mystery of where you are and who you are and what you are until you can find your way back to emptiness. You know, I made a movie about that called Jacob's Ladder. And it's really just that journey. You know, Jacob trying to find what's going on. Why is he seeing demons? Why is he having all these struggles? What is going on? Why is one reality superseding another reality? It's because in the interim between leaving the body and arriving at emptiness, those who haven't learned to do it or practiced it find themselves caught in a state of unbelievable mindful activity. Is this real? Is this an absolute truth? I don't know. We'll find out. It definitely is talked about, and I have had experiences that lead me to think it is true. Most of my life has been predicated on this practice that my teacher Rudy taught me, which is at the core of most spiritual practice, which is let go. Let go. The idea of letting go does two things. It prepares you for the great letting go, which will come at the end of your life, where you really have to do it or enter the bardo state, maybe. But it also allows you in your day-to-day life to begin to free yourself from your attachments, your delusions, your hopes, your fears, all of the stuff that goes on in your daily life, which is so captivating on the best and worst senses of that word. You are captive to your own drama, your own beliefs, your own experience. But the meditative practice is let it go. Let it go. A little bit at a time, let it go. And as you practice that, something happens, which is you start to feel less pulled down by life. You start to feel uplifted. Not because when you let go, you suddenly are free, but you are lighter. You are lighter. This idea of enlightenment provides you with some sense that you will be completely light and free of everything. And there is some truth to that, in that enlightenment frees you from you, from your own personal journey, from your own personal drama, from all your stuff. But what it does is it opens you up to universal being, to something much bigger. And that's the beginning of another journey into a greater awakening, which may then lead to even another amazing awakening. But each one of them is another opportunity to drop off stuff, to let go not only of you and your journey and your story and your problems, now to let go of the world and its journey and its problems. That's a lot of work. I mean, it is and it isn't. Because if you really discover the realm of emptiness, you really do know you can let go of yourself, and ultimately you can let go of the world. You can let go of all manifested truth. You can just go, if each of you could do that right now, you wouldn't be here practicing. It took me 44 years of sitting just to let go of this. And now the journey is so much bigger. And it's hard because I love this world. And I love the people in it. And I love the sunrise. And I love air. And I love breathing. And I love trees. And I love being in this incredible place of manifested reality, which is for me miraculous and mysterious and wondrous and fills me with awe and is in itself temporary, maybe more temporary than we want to believe. There is something comforting in the human experience, knowing that, well, when you leave, the world will continue. That's part of your own narrative. It's part of the drama that all people have that, well, at least everybody else will be fine, or they'll have their story, or you may feel really miserable. I want to see what happens. I want to be there for the wedding. I want to be there for the opening of the show, or whatever it is you think you want to stay around for, but that will all go away, but you will have a feeling the show will continue, and it's really ultimately true that none of it ultimately continues. True emptiness is the beginning of what you might call nothingness, but there is something miraculous in the nothingness. Something that you can't grasp, something that you can't understand or know, but out of absolute emptiness and nothingness, this happens. It comes full-born. The universe comes into being, you can say spontaneously, but you can also say it partakes of time and space, which means it appears to unfold very slowly. So it takes billions and billions of years to create life. And then amoebic forms and molecular life, and then it creates little beings, and it grows into people, and it grows into us, and in the spur of the moment, we create cities and megalopolises, and we create wars, and we create beautiful art, and we create babies, and all of these things are all going on at the very little tiny end of the spectrum of the universe forming out of nothing into this. And here we are, right at the very final end of it all, end for us, because we don't know what's beyond, but we have right at this moment, after 14 billion years of this particular universal manifestation of energy, we have the miracle of being. And it has come out of nothing, and it will return to nothing, and it could return to nothing quickly. Just like we could at any moment return to nothing. Are we prepared for that? Look to yourself. Are you prepared to go back to nothing? My experience is it's a practice to finally say yes to nothingness, to actually understand and feel the power and the positive value of suddenly not being. At least not being the form, not being the energy, the construct that you have come to know in this particular incarnation. That will go away. I hate to tell you this, but at some point, life itself, the world, the manifested forms of sunrise, sunset, clouds, and sky, nothing. Nothing. Are you prepared to say yes to that? Well, you have to answer that for yourselves. And in truth, very few people can get to the answer because they can't even pose the question. And not only if they pose the question, can they get past the intellectualizing of that question? Well, yeah, I think I could get through that. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, if it's nothing, I can do that. Big deal. Yeah, we all die, the world dies, done, the end. That was not hard to do. Try not breathing. Try imagining not waking up. Try imagining not experiencing the sky, the trees, the grass, the people you love, the house you're in, the refrigerator full of food you love. Try imagining, and then you'll start to feel some of the attachment that you really have. Here's a good one. Try getting old. Try watching the things you took for granted that you absolutely required to live with, like being able to walk, being able to remember things, being able to think, being able to know where you are. All those things. Imagine that all starting to go away. You don't even know how attached you are until those things evaporate. And they will. They may evaporate slowly and unravel, or they may go pop, you know, walking down the street, oh God, storm. Nothingness. What do you do with that? What does the mind do with that? Well, maybe it goes on a Bardo trip. Those trips are without time and space, really, so they're completely mind events, and you can spend what would feel like eternity learning how to enter into nothingness, emptiness. Or you may, at the moment that presents itself, it's called the clear light of reality in Tibetan teaching. The moment the clear light of reality comes, you may go, ah. But the Tibetans teach, very few people do that. In my movie, in Jacob's Ladder, Jacob experiences the clear light of reality for a moment, but then he decides and thinks it's a subway car with a light on it rushing toward him on a track. The mind immediately grabs this reality and tries to turn it into something. And if you're in the Bardo state, so much for complete nothingness or emptiness. You're now back into somethingness, but it no longer has the absolute physical linearity of narrative life. It's all something else. But if you are able at that moment to go, or you're done. I mean, done. What does that mean? You'll go back to nothingness. What follows nothingness? Well, it appears sort of like night follows day and day follows night. You will probably re-emerge on some form to experience somethingness again. I don't know. How many times have we done this? But I will tell you, one of the things that I'm starting to feel and understand on this journey, which many great saints write about, is that there can be a last lifetime where you finally go, I get it. And you can just give yourself over to emptiness, timelessness, nothingness forever. Liberation, done. Supposedly, there are those who can go there, who have been there, and who go, but what about all the people in the dream? What about all the people in the life that was I was living? What about all those people who think it's real? What about them? And there's something that will say, well, they'll figure this out over the course of eons of time. But then you say, well, maybe I need to go back and tell them. Maybe I need to go back and just alert them that there's a thing you can do in life called meditation or spiritual practice that can free you from eons and eons of repeating these cycles. Maybe I should come back, and the Tibetans call that the Bodhisattva ideal. There's teachers who come back to say, hey, this is an opportunity to discover the truth of your existence, that is, that there is nothing here. And you can, even though you don't believe a word I'm saying, discover that to be true. If you're willing to practice and sit still every day and find the journey through stillness, you can find your way back to that from which you came and be free of the illusions of this life. Some people will hear that, some people won't hear that. But the Bodhisattva comes back to try to teach. And of course, the Bodhisattva, when he comes back into life out of that unmanifested state, has to go through his own or her own journey to remember this. And when they remember, then they go, oh yeah, then you discover your purpose and meaning in this life, which is to help people out of it. But Bodhisattvas can get lost on the journey. And I warn people who are Bodhisattvas, remember emptiness. Remember emptiness. Be empty. Bring that emptiness into the world. Bring that emptiness into your day-to-day life. There are qualities in emptiness. There are qualities in emptiness that manifest in the world. And as they begin to manifest, those qualities have names, and you know them. Love, beauty, truth. Those are qualities that come out of emptiness, and they're among the first things that form. And as you return to emptiness, you will pass through massive states of beauty, love, and truth, until even those must be transcended, and you return to nothing. We are all on this ride together. You sort of know where you're at. You sort of know where you are in the journey. Where you are is a mind measuring itself on a path that's filled with something you think of as progress. Progress to nothingness. Let go of this, let go of that, let go of this, let go of that. If I keep letting go and keep letting go and keep letting go and keep letting go, I'll get there. Which is all fine. That's how the mind works. But the great teachers will tell you, this is empty. The journey is empty. The whole idea that you're not there is delusional. You are already that emptiness. You are that. So what can you do? If you are already that and you don't feel that, well, that's where sitting still comes in. There's another thing you can do, which is part of this journey of acceptance. Just take it as it comes. There's another thing you can do. Love yourself. These things will help you on the road to realizing there is nothing here. I will tell you, I've gotten to this point in my own life where I walk through the day and nothing is real. I've talked about this a little bit recently. I think it throws people, but I talked about it as Twilight Zone, but it's very strange experience. I was explaining the other day that I don't always know the map of where I'm at, and I don't know if when I walk out the door I'm going to be in Rhinebeck, New York, or Los Angeles, or here, or all these other places I am. I don't remember which way I'm supposed to take the car. Of course, the minute I get in the car, it kind of all comes back, but my mind is layered with all the parts of the life that I've led, and lives I've never led, or maybe led billions of years ago. And this is all happening in waking life. The dream life and the waking life are all starting to kind of interact in a way, and all I can do, is go empty. And the only reason I can go to empty at all is because I have had 50 or more years of this lifetime practicing. And I'm not always perfect at it, because there are things that happen in a 75-year-old body that make you go, ooh, really? You have to let go of pain. You have to let go of not sleeping. You have to let go of discomfort. You have to let go of the fact that you can't remember anything. You have to, okay. So it's a test, and you suddenly realize, wow, 50 years of practice have basically been to prepare me for the real journey, which is occurring now. which is the end of the journey. The return to nothingness, you have to begin to let go of the basics, not the stuff that's intermediary, not the career and not the children and not all that stuff. You got to let go of the basics. And you will know now is the work, in a sense, of your life. Let go, let go. And it helps a lot to know and remember that there is nothing here. But it is practical to be able to let go of pain. It is practical to let go of the fact that you're going to lose everything and everyone you love. It is practical to go, aha, okay, okay. That's the journey that we are on. We are all on that journey. You know kind of where you are on that journey. You have a sense of it. Now it's up to you. It's up to you to figure out, how do I progress? You're not trying to follow and become Bruce or Rudy or Buddha or whatever teacher is out there that you think has the answers. You can't get their answers. Their answers are intellectual. Their answers are ideas. They may even be somewhat experiential. But the only answers that ultimately matter are your answers. And if you're not asking the questions and you're not doing the work to get to your liberation as opposed to following somebody else's path to their liberation, then you're going to have a hard time discovering what I'm talking about. It's your journey. I will simply tell you, one, it will end. Two, the ultimate is that there's nothing there. Now what? My job is to remind you of this on a weekly basis to the degree that you're willing to hear it over and over. Your job is to one day go, oh, I get what he's saying. Oh, okay, I'll do that. Some of you are trying to do it every day, but I'm telling you, when you start to really understand this matters, this is not just hypothetical, this is everything. Everything that it takes to become empty or to realize the emptiness that exists within the formation of being. That's what we're doing. And I will, to the last breath, try to remind you of that. I do it because there is no greater act of love than coming into this world and trying to love people enough to share the truth of its impermanence and its emptiness. That's great love. I would squeeze every one of you to my heart and carry you out of here if I could, but we all leave alone. So take the love as best you can get it and be prepared and love everybody around you and help them know that they're loved and help them on this path, because it's the only path that exists. There's only one exit. And we're all going toward it. So, in all of this emptiness, there is love, there is beauty, there is truth. And to the degree that we can reflect on that, embody it, magnify it, share it, our lives will be worth living and worth leaving. And I wish all of you the best on that journey. Any questions?
Bruce, I've struggled throughout my life between wanting to make a contribution and the other side of letting go and moving toward emptiness. And it kind of feels like I've related to some of your recent talks recently as presenting both of those sides. On the one hand, do something. Make a movie. If you feel compelled, act. And then on the other side, let go. It's emptiness.
It's a tricky balance, but that is exactly what's called for. Be here completely and recognize somewhere underlying all of this, it's not going to go on forever. It has limited duration. But while you are here, make a difference. While you are here, bring something to the table. If you're going to be here and you just want to sit in a cave by yourself, I'm not going to say don't do that. But I happen to love this idea that Buddha presented of right action. Right thought, right action. Bring yourself to the table. You don't have to do that, but I, becoming a student of Rudy's, Rudy said, this is your spiritual life. This world is your spiritual life. Give yourself to it. Do the work. Do what you can do. But don't think you're going to take anything away from that. You know, I've won, you know, like an Oscar and whatever that is. You don't take that out of this world. It doesn't define you. Even the minute you get it, it's over. It's over. What you find is that the emptiness is the joy. The emptiness is what gives you freedom and gives you the ability to touch life gently and lightly. But it's a struggle. And you know, I've been working on this film that I just felt I needed to do something in the electoral cycle, because I'm not happy with the world I'm seeing politically around me. And I'm not alone in that. A lot of people are looking at the world and going, what's going on here? I felt I had to do something. It's proven to be one of the most difficult things I've ever done, because I am trying to bring all this energy into my day-to-day functioning and having absolutely no sense of what I'm doing or how to do it or where it's going to go, and having to trust moment to moment to moment the grace of the universe to show me a path through density. And it's like one of the best teachings I've ever experienced. I've never seen anything like it. It checks and balances me every single day, almost every minute, right now. It's going to be over November 6th, one way or the other, gone. And I know, and that's very freeing. But I have to do everything I can do in ways I haven't worked this hard since I was in my 30s and 40s and 50s, let's say. This is like, poof, every minute is worked to get this thing into the electoral cycle, to get people to go to the polls and maybe help change the outer world that we're living in, maybe. And it's very vibrant for me, and I really understand how valuable it is to be doing all of that in a world of nothing. And you have to, in the end, be able to let go of all of your effort, all of your achievement, all of your non-achievement. If I have absolutely no success in this, in the end, I have to go, oh well. And if I have great success in it and things really change, I have to go, okay. I can't walk around amplified by having had success, and I can't walk around destroyed by not having success. I have played my part in this manifested space, and trust me, this hasn't come into being lightly. This world did not manifest like, oh, let's see what happened. Let's make a world. Let people run around and play and kill each other and build things and make art and do stuff. I don't think that's how it happened. There seems in my mind to be great causality, that there's something remarkable about the fact that this world exists and we are in it. And there seems to be something really meaningful about finding your place in it and doing good work in it, and actually living up to some ideal of what it means to be a good human being, a loving human being. There seems to be importance and value. That may not be true, because in the end, it all goes back to emptiness, but somehow the journey to find the right narrative in your life is worth it, as far as I can tell. It offers satisfaction, it offers fulfillment, it offers a sense of completion. I don't know why those things are important, but they seem to be in the equation of human experience. And again, this isn't happening by chance. Something went to a lot of trouble to bring this reality into being. I think we have to bring ourselves to the table and help it along. That's my feeling. So I would say the journey is to do and be and react to the world with as much spiritual wisdom as you can, and also at any given moment to go, I will be done. I am trying to act as much as I can in a state of grace. Grace means to be informed by something greater, and to allow myself to follow the path of something greater through the world. I know when I'm paying attention, and I know when I'm not paying attention. If you do it for ego reasons, if you do it for power reasons, if you do it for recognition reasons, you might get what you want, but you're only going to have amplified the very thing that needs to be taken away, or that will be taken away. So you better learn as you go through life, let go, let go, let go. No matter what they give you, let it go. It's a great journey. It's a great practice. I don't know why we're having to practice that, but we are. So here we are, learning to be nothing. Practicing being nothing. Those who are not practicing it will be stunned at the realization. They will feel cheated. We, hopefully, who have begun the practice, will not feel cheated, but we will feel liberated by it. So do your work. Do the things you have to do and stay open and stay available to the simple surrender of your being to the what is of the universe. And it will be glorious, I think. For me, it's the most amazing thing. It's not easy, never easy, but it is given the ease, if you will, of the grace of being to get just to do it. Moment to moment to moment, it's doable. It's achievable. And if you open yourself up to it, you feel you're in service of something great. It's a wonderful experience. Does that answer at all the question, or are you perplexed? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure where the question is, but a couple of things. In this moment in time where I am hearing nothing, even though I've heard it from another teacher and probably deep inside I know what that means, I can't grasp it, and I'm like going, well, even beauty, grace, and truth is something, right? But what I wanted to ask, I think, is something completely different, is when I started studying Rudy's, meditation, I noticed a lot of people were talking about, like, getting to that last incarnation where you don't have to come back, and made me feel, I really liked that you said, live a good life, but, because I love this world, right? And I'm not feel kind of exactly like that now, but I love this world, and why do you want to get there to the end to leave? It seems like you're not, I don't mean you, I'm talking in general,
right?
Like it's a beautiful world, right? Why do you want to like get to the end?
It's a really good question, and let me just say this to that question. The being that wants to get the end to the end and be done is an ego structure. It wants something to free itself of the world. It doesn't work that way. The only way to free the world is to free yourself from the world is to love the world. The only way to free yourself from being is to let go of your attachment to it, to just be in it completely and fully. This idea of what I called last week, I think, a spiritual bypass, trying to find a way around life or out of life, I don't believe it happens. People sitting in a cave who suddenly have that kind of feeling of connection, put them back in the world with a former mother-in-law. And just find out how successful they truly were. I don't know. I mean, I get it. What I think one is looking for is not to escape the world, but to recognize I'm going to use the word godlike space from which it has arisen. To realize you are not something cut off from the source. You are the source. You are the awareness and the emptiness and the fullness. Emptiness is a funny word because it has an opposite of fullness, and because the reality is, in a non-dualistic system, emptiness and fullness are the same thing. Some people call it awareness, some people call it presence. Whatever it is, this world happens within it and dissolves within it. Like that. This is like universes. Not just this world. They come and go and they come and go and they come and go. The goal is sort of to go, if that's what this is, and if I've been initiated into that vast awareness, I would like to live in this world with that awareness, with that knowledge. I want to live in impermanence in a state of acceptance and grace, not trying this thing of getting out of it, which means the ego wants freedom from stress and freedom from attachment and freedom from all of these things, but just going, I accept it. I accept it, which is in a funny way, the real liberation. Not hiding from it, not escaping it, not getting away, but going, okay, here I am. I am manifested at the same time that I live in a space of total unmanifested truth. How does that happen? Mystery. How did I get here? Mystery. What's the truth? Well, I'll give it to you for the moment, but it'll be gone in a second. So what's the value? The truth is, this is the truth. Done. It's both completely real and present and completely unreal and absent and empty and full and aware and unaware and beautiful and horrible. It is totality, the absolute, and you and I and all of us are one with that. What is it? But it's much more remarkable to live in an awareness of it than to live every day thinking you just got to go to work and make a living and do that. You know, I don't know how you felt driving the bus, you know, every day, but I'm sure there were days where you felt, what am I doing? This will tell you what you're doing. Another question?
Well, I haven't recently experienced loss or perceived losses. Kind of, I think I came to the place of maybe emptiness, and it was really scary because maybe I filled a lot of things in my life with it. And I, from it, I think I learned that a lot of my actions and maybe a lot of other people's actions are from a place not wanting to be in that, you know, causing life turmoil, whatever, to not be in there, you know, not to stop, not to let go, kind of like, you know.
I'm not sure I understand that as a question.
I'm saying I think I realized coming to a place where I could say, oh yes, you know, and then there's a busy making in life not to say yes to just stopping.
Yeah, well, busy making is, you know, being totally wrapped up in your story. And most people are and will be till the end. And if you can get a moment that somehow releases you from your story, that can show you the big picture while you're in the little picture, you live differently. That's all I can say. And usually what will get you out of that is loss and grief and all this, all the difficulties of life will stop you long enough where you just have to look at the big picture. And that's kind of how the universe works. By taking things away that are really profoundly important, you realize they're going to take everything away that's profoundly important. What does that leave you with? You need to find that. You need to find that because that's all you got. And that happens to be everything. Anybody else?
So yes. Everything, including your purpose.
Gets taken away.
Everything, including your purpose. Including your purpose, because that's what I'm...
When you say everything, but including, you mean everything gets taken away, or...
Including your purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so your perceived purpose in the world.
It's just, that's
so
part of...
So everything you've identified with.
Everything.
Is purpose just related to your ego?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, in a way, when you feel like you're completely lost, maybe that's actually a good place to be.
Yes.
When you're in transition and you feel like, I had this purpose for...
If you want to go on this journey,
yeah,
you have to be prepared to let go of the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And they include purpose. Mm-hmm. They include thinking you know what you're doing and who you are. Mm-hmm. Thinking that you can be of any help to anybody and thinking that you can be of any help to yourself. Mm-hmm. There is something greater at work here. It will all get taken away. The mind doesn't grasp what that really means because the mind can't go there. But when it starts to happen, you are really in the spiritual journey. Buddha under the Bodhi tree watched all of this happening. He watched all desire, he had to overcome all desire and overcome all terror, all the demons, everything. And our life is the unfolding of loss of desire and the dealing with the demons, and it keeps coming. And even when you've done so much work on your own stuff, then you get open to the demons of the world. And they're all around, and you've got to deal with that.
Right.
This is not an easy path for anybody.
So grief would seem a natural process.
Yes,
for healing and grief, to bring you back to self.
Yes, because grief, yeah, is about the loss of everything you love,
yeah,
which is the ultimate state, the loss of everything you love. That's where we're all headed. How do you do that? Well, people who have had great grief that I've come to meet in life seem to know more than most other people. And that is a path to knowledge.
If you, when you move through it, when you don't identify with it.
Yes, well, that's what, at first, grief you do identify with. You suffer terribly.
Right.
And then you realize, this is unbearable.
Right.
Now what? And then there's a path through grief to, aha. That first of all, you realize, one, you're not the first person to be there, to suffer huge loss. And not only that, if you're really conscious, you realize everyone is going to experience it. Not just the loss of ones they love, but the very self that they love. That's going to be taken away. It's not permanent. It's empty. That's a big journey. And it's all a journey we all pretend to be on in our mind, but it's a journey we really are on, with your mind or not with your mind. We're on it. Wake up.
About purpose, and the answer to the first question, you had said that there's great satisfaction in actually being in right purpose, or finding your way in, you know, being in with the great intent, for instance.
Yeah, no, if you're going to be in the world, and you are, there are directives. I mean, the Ten Commandments are important. You know, there are directives that basically serve the world, and there are directives that, not directives so much, but instincts that are mostly egoistic and ignorant that do great damage. And we are in a world of conflict between those dualities, and those dualities essentially arise from the same space that we arrive from. We are born with all of that. Some of us overcome it, some of us grow, some of us discover our higher power, and some of us remain endlessly involved in egoistic pursuit and dominion over others. That's a problem.
But I mean, I know it's just kind of like the mind not being able to grasp it, but I guess there can be or is, and we are in our greater purpose, but also we have to let that go, kind of like that it's an ego construct.
Well, yeah. You don't have to let everything go until you have to let everything go. You know, there's a time where you need to be involved with what is. You know, if you try to let everything go in the throughout your whole life, it's a mistake. I had a phone call from somebody recently who gave up two major careers on some sense of trying to free himself from the world and is now homeless. Looking for help. Someone I knew 40 years ago. I think that was the wrong series of choices. I think do your work. The world will take it away when it's ready. But be ready to let it go. And if you let it go day by day a little bit, when the time comes, it will be here. That's all I can say. Okay, I think that's enough talk. Thank you, guys. See you next week. And one last thing for anybody who makes it to the end of this tape, the videos that I've been trying to make over the last several months about immigrant children being taken away from their parents are online at our website, which is called immigrantfilm.org, and they are now posted. You can actually go and download them, and you can share them with people, and we are trying very hard to get them shared in a very big way with people with large Twitter feeds and with congresspeople, congressmen and women, and hopefully it will get out there and make a difference. We will see. If it does, that will be very fulfilling. If it doesn't, as I say, take a breath. I did the right thing to make the films. I don't know anything about marketing films, so we'll see where they go. But if you want to share them with everyone you know, thank you. Bye-bye.